Today's shiur is Masechet Erech and Daf Dalet, and we will begin in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph at the fourth line. The Gemara continues by focusing on different Mishnayos and Braises, where the Braisa uses the word Kahanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim, and the question, of course, is why does it have to mention all of them? So quotes the Gemara, the Braisa says, Hakol Chayovim Mikra Megillah. Everybody's obligated to, in the Mikra Megillah, and learning the Megillah on Purim, Kahanim Levim Yisraelim. So ask the Gemara Pshita, of course Kahanim Levim Yisraelim are included. Answers the Gemara, Letzrich Levat Levadosam. The Chiddush here is that the Kahanim are read the Megillah even if it means not doing the Avodah. Ukud Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Dam Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Kahanim Bavadosam, Levim Beduchanam. We know that the Levim stood on the Duchen to sing the Shira. We know that Maramasech the Tainus teaches us that Klal Yisrael, just like the Kahanim were divided up into Mashmiris, so to a Klal Yisrael, because the Aloch is you need to have Yisraelim participate in the Kabbonis Tzibur. So all of these individuals, Mevatim Levedosam, even though they have a Chiv of Avoida, the Orm of Atma Avedosam, or Boyim Lishmai McMegillah to participate in Kriyas Megillah. Very fundamental, Machlokes Rishonim, Rambam and Ran. The Rambam holds, we understand the Gemara as the Gemara says, that Kriyas Megillah, given that it's Persume Nisa, is more important than the Avoida. The Ran says that our Gemara is only referring to a situation where you could do the Avoida and you could also do Kriyas Megillah. So our Gemara says that if it's comes the time to do Kriyas Megillah, we'll read the Megillah and we'll do the Avodah later. But it says the Ran, if at the expense of reading the Megillah they're going to lose the Avodah altogether, the Avodah is a Chiv Deraisa. Kriyas Megillah is only a Chiv Derabbanan. Certainly, Kriyas Megillah is not Doicha. Kriyas Megillah is not Doicha the Avodah. It's not working. There's an interesting question. The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, famous Gemara, Chayev Adam Likra Megillah Belayla, a person has to read the Megillah at night, Ulashanoisoi Beyoim, and repeat it by day. And the Gemara tries to prove how we know that halacha. Ask the Mefarshim, of course that's the halacha. If our Gemara is teaching us that Kriyas Megillah is Doicha the Avoida, if our Gemara is teaching us that Kriyas Megillah is Doicha the Avoida, of course it has to be by day. At night there is no Avoida. So the Mefarshim respond that it could still be that we would only have Kriyas Megillah at night and it should still be a question of it superseding the Avoida. Two terutzim I saw. One terutz is that Kriyas Megillah could already be done from the Plag HaMincha, just like you could have a Ma'ariv after the Plag. But you could still bring the Karmat Tomit Shabbein Abayim at that time. That's one teretz. Another teretz is in the morning, after the Alois. After the Alois, b'diyevid, you already could bring the Karmat Tomit Shal Shachar. But still, if you didn't read the Megillah at night, it's still kosher to read the Megillah for the night. Continues the Gemara. The Braisa says, Hakol Chayom B'Zimun, as we discussed in the previous year, that when they say Berachas HaMazon, they have Zimun. And again, the Gemara says, Kahanim Levim V'Yisraelim. Says the Gemara, Pshita, obviously, everybody has to bench. Answers the Gemara, Letzricha, Dokachli Kotchim. The Gemara here, the Brice here refers to a situation where they're eating Kotchim. Kosakadat Chamina, the Pasuk says, Va'ochlu Oisam, Ashakupa Behem Am Rachmana, Vahai Kaparihi. The purpose of eating Kotchim is for a Kapara. And therefore, since the entire purpose is only for Kapara, maybe there is no Chiv of benching, kamash malon, v'chalt v'savat amrachmana, the Torah speaks about eating and being satiated, and even if you ate kachim, you are satiated, v'isnu, and therefore, you have to bench. So the Mefarshim offer different pshatim I saw in the Mefarshim, why we would have a havamina, that somebody who ate kachim should not be chuyiv in Birkas HaMazon. Simple pshat is because it's considered achila yidei oynus. It's not a chila that I chose to eat. It's a chila that I want to eat. And a chila that I'm obligated to eat. The Gemara in the Hamin assumes that Achila Yidei Oynes is not considered Achila, Kamashman, that you still have to bench. Meshech Chachma says a very interesting pshat. Meshech Chachma says that why did the Torah tell us to bench? Because what is common human nature is a person eats and is full. And when a person is eating and full, he gets a little arrogant. You forget Hashem. So that's why you bench, and it reminds you that everything you have is really all from Hashem. But you would think, says the Meshech Chachma, when somebody is eating carbon, when somebody is eating kachim, you don't need to be worried about that. It can't be that you're eating kachim, and eating kachim will lead you to the wrong conclusion. And therefore, perhaps, benching is not required. That's what the Gemara has to tell us, that benching is required. In fact, I saw from the Beis Yisrael, that the Beis Yisrael says, that's why the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, that there was never Ben Sarah Meir in Yerushalayim. Why? Because what did they eat in Yerushalayim? They ate kachim meat. And what did they drink in Yerushalayim? Kachim, Nesachim. You can't become a Ben Sarah Meir from eating kachim. A third shot that I saw from the Kli Chemda, given that eating kachim is a mitzvah, and we know that mitzvahs lav lahenis nitnu. So that's why the Gemara thinks that since that eating is not for the purpose of a hanah, that's why you don't have to bench, kamashman, that you do. But here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Clearly, the eating of the kahanim of the kachim, we know, kahanim oichlim, ubalim miskaprim. That's why the Gemara has to teach us that even though the kahanim eat, it's considered a situation for which birchas hamazon is required. But the rishonim debate, What will be the halacha if the balim, we know that in many kabbalas, kachim kalim, the owners get a share of the carbon. Is that also what the Gemara refers to here when it has to teach us that when you eat kachim, you still need to bench? Some rishonim explain that the Gemara is focused strictly on the kahanim. The portion that the owners eat, that isn't considered such a significant mitzvah that there should be a havamina that he shouldn't have to bench. Others say it's even referring to the eating of the baalim, because eating kachim is a mitzvah. It makes no difference if it's the kohanim or the owners. So I saw a very interesting prima godim. Very interesting prima godim. It actually refers to a very relevant shaila. He says, according to the pasha pshat of the Gemara, and according to the opinion of the rishonim, that we're only referring to the kahanim eating. That means we're only speaking about kachi kachim. So where is there kachi kachim that you bench? We're speaking about benching here. What part of where do you have a kachi kachim food that you bench? The only food that you will find that would fit into that category are the shiore menachas. We learned Masechta Menachas that the kaimitz is burnt and the rest of the binchas is eaten by the kahanim. But the carbon mincha is a mezainis. It's made with oil. It's pasa baba kisnan. So there's no benching on a mezainis. Says the prima godim, from our Gemara we see that if you kovei a suda on pasa baba kisnan, if you kovei a suda on mezainis roll, you still have to bench. Because otherwise there would be no way of understanding our Gemara. Continues the Gemara. How come it starts from lezimun? The Brisa says that all could join together for a zimun. Kahanim levim yisraelim. Ask the Gemara again, Pshita. Of course they all could join together. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha de ka'achli kahanim tshuma. The kahanim are eating tshuma kachim. V'zor ka'ochel chulin. So saka data chamina. Hoil vi boy zor lemechle bikadi kayin. If the zor would want to join together with the kayin to eat, loy matza ochel. He can't. Because Yisrael may not eat tshuma. Yisrael may not eat certain kachim. Eim aloy letzdarf. So they can't join into one group for zimun. Kamashmalan, therefore teaches us the Brisa. Ne the Zor Bahadi Koyin Le Matzachel. Yes, the Zor cannot join together with the Koyin. However, Koyin Bahadi Zor Matzachel. The Koyin could join with the Zor, and that's enough to have a group. And the Paiskim discuss many very interesting questions based on this Gemara. One question could come up is if you have a group of people, some are eating meat, and some are eating dairy. Could they join together for Zimun? So the Paiskim used the same logic of this Gemara. given that the person that ate dairy just has to wash his mouth and his hands, he could eat meat. Yes, the person who ate meat has to wait till he could eat dairy, but the person who eat dairy could eat meat, and therefore they could join together, and he has to be the one, just like the Kohen and now Gemara, to lead the Zimun. However, the Magen Avraham says, there are exceptions to this rule. Why would be the halacha if it's during the 9 days and we don't eat meat? And we have three people, two ate meat because they were part of a Suddhas Mitzvah, they were part of a Siyam. And the third individual wasn't part of the Siyam. He wasn't participating. So he's now out to eat meat. So even though he ate dairy, he can't lead the Zimun because this is a group that can't join together. Or the Maram Rottenberg says a very interesting halacha. Again, we have two people ate meat and one person ate dairy. But the person who ate the dairy is under doctor's orders that he's not allowed to eat meat. So he can't join together because he's not allowed to eat fleishiks. So then they can't join together in a zimun. The other question the Pais can discuss is why would be the halacha if you have a group of people, some ate pas akum, pas palter, and there's another person who's makbid not to eat pas palter. So the people who ate pas palter could join together with the person who ate Pas Yisrael. Because the person who eats Pas Palter will eat Pas Yisrael. But the person who eats Pas Yisrael won't eat Pas Palter. So he can't lead the Zimun. The question that some Paiskim discuss, and they bring a raya from Al Gemara, not like that, is what will be the halacha, maybe even though I only eat Pas Yisrael, and these other people I ate with eat Pas Palter, but there's always a possibility for Pas Yisrael to arrive. Does the halacha take that into consideration? Or does the halacha say that we have to look at what's here and now? So the Gemara, the Pais can bring a raya from our Gemara that we look at the here and now. Because the Gemara says that the Kohen ate Truma, and the Yisraelim ate Chulin, and they can't join together. The Kohen could join with them, but they can't join with the Kohen. Why not? You could be Shoyl on the Truma. So here we see the fact that you could be Shoyl on Truma doesn't make a difference. Another interesting question is what would happen if you have three individuals eating together and they're all mudr hanor from each other. There's not a lot of benefit one from the other. So the Beis Yosef says that they can't join together. And again, with the line of reasoning that I just said, even though they could theoretically be shoyul on their nether, they could have the nether annulled. Right now they don't have the nether annulled and therefore they can't eat together. So now the Gemara comes to our Masechta. Hakel Marichim Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Our Mishnah says Hakel Marichim Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. And ask the Gemara Pshita. Isn't it obvious? So before we go further, the Mefarshim point out that when we began our Masechta, and the Masechta began Hakel Marichim V'Narochim Noidrim V'Nidorim, the Gemara and Daf Beizim Aleph, as we learned the Gemara together, explained that we need to understand the word Hakel in relationship to every word of those four words. Now, say the Mefarshim, once the Gemara and the Beizom and Aleph explain to us why we need each one of those words and the word Hakol attached to it, the Gemara isn't so concerned about having Kohanim Levim Yisraelim attached to every word. As soon as we'll have a Chiddush in any of these four words, why the Mishnah has to say Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, it'll be good enough to understand why the Mishnah needed to say it. So, in introduction to the Gemara's Teretz, we need to say two words. One is, we all know, the halacha is that every Jew had to participate every year by giving a machzis shekel. And the other halacha is, as we remember, a pasuk in the Torah, which we discussed extensively in Masechta Menachos, the Gemara says, the pasuk says, v'kam machzis kayin kolal tiyah. When a kohen brings a korban mincha, not like we just said, you separate the kohenim and the rest is eaten by the kohanim, the entire mincha is burnt. So begins the Gemara. Hakel Marichim, Kehanim Levim Yisraelim. So ask the Gemara Pshita. Answers the Gemara, Amra Avra, Lanitzcha El Ben Bukhri. The Chiddush is according to Ben Bukhri. The Tanan, Amra Behuda, Heid Ben Bukhri Biyavna, Kol Koyin Sheshaikel. He says that any coin that does give a shekel, ain't a chayte, is not considered a balavera. Which means, according to Ben Bukhri, a coin really ought not to give the shekel. Two reasons. And there's an halach lemaisa nafkamina between the two reasons. One is because the pasuk that speaks about the machzis of the shekel says, ze yitnu kol ha'over al-bekudim. everybody who participated in the census. We know the Kahanim and Levim did not participate in the census. So according to that explanation, the Gemara here is not only speaking about Kahanim, it's speaking about Levim as well, because they didn't participate in the census with the rest of Klal Yisrael. The other reason, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is because the Kahanim, what did they do with the Machzor Shekel? They brought the Kabbonis Sibur with the Machzor Shekel. And since they brought the Kabbonis Sibur with the Machzor Shekel, so if Kahanim participated, so what are Kabbonis Sibur? The Omer, the Shtei Alechem, the Lechem Aponim. All of them are Kabbonis that are eaten, Kabbon Minchas that are eaten. But if the Kahanim participate, we just said Kol to you, they have to be completely burnt. So that's why Ben Bukhri's opinion is that they shouldn't really participate. Interesting, the Gemara really asked this question, but before we get into the Gemara, Ben Bukhri's wording is sort of interesting. He should have said, Kalkayin lo yishkol. Why does he say, Kalkayin sheshaykel ein achayte? So the Sfarim explain, the Kayin is the leader of Klal Yisrael. There are people who are the leaders. And people who are leaders, sometimes it gets to the head. And they don't think that they have to give a din v'cheshbon. They don't think that they have to give a reckoning. So it says, kol kayin sheshaykel. If a kayin, even though he's the leader, shaykel, he weighs his acts. He thinks, what am I doing? He doesn't just take for granted his leadership position. Ein achayta, then he won't do any averus. So the stipler is a very interesting verse from the stipler. According to Ben Bukhri, the kohanim should not participate in giving the machzor shekel. But there are, as we understand, and just gave some examples, many kabbonis sibur during the year. So if the kahanim are not participating in giving the machzor shekel, do they have a share in the kabbonis sibur? So the stipler says an important yesoid. He says the halacha of giving machzor shekel and the halacha of being participant in the kabbonis sibur don't travel together. There's a separate obligation, and he says a very nice raya. He says, what will be if there'll be Baruch Hashem enough money in the treasury, and they don't need to make a new collection, and they'll have still enough to bring the kabbonis? Do they still bring machzor shekel? Absolutely. So then every year, you have to give machzor shekel. So what do we see from here? That these two things don't travel together. And even though the kohen doesn't give the machzor shekel, he still has a share in the kabbonis tzibur. So after I saw the stipler, I thought that this is very relevant to a very famous discussion. There's a discussion amongst the Achronim if women who are supposed to daven, the Gemara says on Masechet Brachos, should daven Musaf. Should they daven Tefillas Musaf? The Tzlach says the women shouldn't daven Musaf. He says because it's a mitzvah to say she's man groma. You only daven Musaf on Shabbos Yontif. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Psalm Roish have a different reason why women shouldn't daven Musaf. Because what was the musaf? What was the carbon musaf? It was the carbon tzibur. Who participated in the machzor shekel for which the carbon tzibur was brought? Men over 20. Women didn't participate. And therefore, Kivega Paskins, the women shouldn't daven tefillas musaf. Not only that, I saw a very interesting halach lemaisa. It comes up. Let's say you need about tefillah for musaf. And you have a boy, he's under 20 years old. Now we know that men under 20 years old didn't participate in the machzor shekel. According to Bikivegi, you shouldn't let him beat about tefillah for musaf, because he's not part of the tefillah musaf like the woman. But once we have the word of the stipler that giving the machzor shekel has nothing to do with being part of the carbon tzibur, you could be part of the carbon tzibur even though you didn't give the machzor shekel, we'll say the same about the women and the boys. Even though they didn't have to give the machzor shekel, that doesn't exclude them from being part of the carbon tzibur. There's a very interesting vart from one of the early achronim, Marash Alfandri. He says, an interesting vart. He says that from here we see the matbeya, the coins, ain't a bottle. Because what's our Gemara saying? That according to Ben Bukhri, the Kohanim shouldn't give the machzor shekel. But he asks, why? Even if they give, most of Klal Yisrael are not Kohanim. So won't their coins become bottle in the coins of rest of Klal Yisrael? From here we see, he says, the matbeah ain't a bottle. But many Achronim take issue with what he says. Because this is, they say in the category, e mevatel mislechatchila. Even when something becomes bottle, doesn't mean you should be mevatel it. Here too, if kaharim shouldn't give, doesn't mean that they should give and be mevatel it. They shouldn't give. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to Ben Bukhri, loichein. You're wrong. El kol koyin she'ena shaykel, any kind that doesn't participate, chayta, is doing the wrong thing. And again, here too, the Mefarshim sort of focus on this wording. He should have just said, kol koyin yishkel. So he says, what happens many times is that a person is a koyin, and he thinks to himself, I don't have to give to the maksa shekel, I don't have to participate with the tztaka, I'm already participating because I'm doing the avodah. So says the Gemara, kol koyin she'ena shekel. First you participate like everybody else. After you participate like everybody else, then it becomes your opportunity to volunteer and also do the avodah. But to do the avodah without participating is inappropriate. Kol koyin she'ena shekel, any koyin that doesn't participate, chayta. Ella, he says, as we explain, shekahanim darshim mikra zelatzim. The kahanim try to get out of giving the machza shekel by saying, the pasuk says, the kamichas koyin kolotia loy soichel. Say to Kohanim, Hoyl v'oymer v'shtei alechem v'lechem aponu shalonu heim, all of these kabonat tzibur. We participate, if we're going to participate in the machzor shekel, heich heim necholim, how will they be eaten? Ula ben Bukhri, continues the Gemara, kivin del chatchila le mechayvi. So according to ben Bukhri, because of this reason, that there's a problem with the kabonat tzibur, and that's why they shouldn't give, so what did Ben Bukhri say? Kol koyin she'shaykel eina chayta, which seems to mean that the right thing to do is that they shouldn't participate. Says the Gemara, kim d'l'chatchila lo mechayv l'esui, if l'chatchila did not mechuyiv to bring, kimaisa nami chaytahu. It's not just that, so if they do it, they do it. They're doing something wrong. Because kamaisi chul l'azara. So how could Ben Bukhri say they don't have to? But if they want, they may. They shouldn't be allowed to. Because if they participate, don't we have an issue of chulin la'azara? Answers the Gemara. The ma'isi lehu, when they participate, umos le'tzibur. They give it over to the tzibur with a, as the machloikas achroinim, how to learn, they're either makne it or they're magdish it, and therefore they give it over that it should become hegdish, and we don't have a problem that it's really still attributed to them. It's interesting to point out two questions that I saw that are very connected. Here the Gemara says that the Kahanim, when they give the Machzor Shekel, according to Ben Bukhri, since they're not obligated to give it, they have to give it umasi l'tzibur, give it over to the tzibur. Why doesn't the Gemara say the same thing by women? The halach is, and the minig is, that people give machzor shekel for their wives as well. So why, when a woman who's not really obligated, as we said earlier, to give the machzor shekel, does the Gemara not say the ma'isilahu umas l'tzibur? So Mefarshim say a very nice teretz. Women aren't obligated to give the machzor shekel. Nobody's forcing them to give the machzor shekel. So obviously, if a woman's giving the machzor shekel, she's giving it properly. Koyahanim, however, may feel pressure to give the machzor shekel. Because since all other men above 20 are giving the machzor shekel, so they're going to feel peer pressure that they should give it as well. So that's what the Gemara says by the Kahanim, Maisulhu Masul Tzibur, but not by women. But if that's the case, so then I sort of Mefarshim ask the other way. If the only way, according to Ben Bukhri, we accept machzor shekel from the Kahanim is if maisilahu umas l'tzibur, why should we not be concerned that they didn't give it over properly? Gemara says in other places, chashinin, we need to be concerned, shemr loy masru yofa, maybe they didn't give it over with their whole heart. So here they use the same teretz the other way around. Since machzor shekel is such a popular mitzvah, and everybody's giving the machzor shekel, the kohen wants to be part of that mitzvah, and he's going to give it properly. So now the Gemara gets to our point. So now that, according to Ben Bukhri, says the Gemara, Kohanim are really not obligated to participate in the machzah shekel. Salka data chamina. So we would think, says the Gemara, ha'alik siv, the pasuk says, the kol erkecha yia b'shekel ha'kaidish. So we would learn, kol the isa b'shkolim, isa b'erchim, that shkolim and erchim travel together. And therefore, hani kohanim, ha'al v'less than b'shkolim, since they're not obligated in shkolim, as we have been learning, less la b'erchim, shouldn't be part of the parish of erchim either, kamash malon. That's why we need the Mishnah to teach us that they are. Amalei, Abaya asks Abaya, how can we say that that's what we would use this pasuk for? Hi, the kol erkecha l'chol erchin shatamarech lo yeh b'chusim b'selahu dasa. And here we get introduced to a concept that's going to come up in this Masechta many times. The concept of Hesed Yad. The Torah teaches us, as we've been saying from when we began the Masechta, that every person, given their age and the gender, has a specific erech. But what happens if someone is marich, somebody accepts upon himself an erech obligation, and he can't afford to pay it? So the Torah says that the kohen should evaluate his financial status, and as long as he could give a selah, as long as he could give a shekel, he fulfills his obligation. So asks Abaya, how do we know that the minimum payment is a shekel? And that the halacha, as we're going to learn, is as follows. If he gives the shekel, he can afford to give a shekel, and gives the shekel, and then Baruch Hashem becomes wealthy, he has taken care of his obligation. But if he couldn't give the seli even, so then we have to leave it in abeyance, and then if he gets wealthy, he'll have to give as much as he had, as much as he accepted upon himself. So we need the pasuk to teach us this then. So how can we say that the pasuk is coming to teach us that erchin and machsa shekel travel together? Elam Abaya. Abaya says another explanation. Ha Itzrich. The reason we need to say Kohanim Levim Yisraelim is for a different reason altogether. Saka Data Chemina. Ha Yavaksiv Peduya Miben Chodesh Tifta Be'erkecha. So we would learn, call the Isa B'Pinyan Aben. Only those individuals who are obligated in the mitzvah Pinyan Aben, Isa Be'erchen, are obligated in the mitzvah of Erchen. Vahani Kohanim, as we know Kohanim, and actually Levim as well, of less than opinion of Ben, as we learned in Masechta B'chayris, less than Be'erchen, Kamash Malan. So the Mefarshim ask, if that's the way to learn, so then women should be excluded also. Women aren't obligated in the mitzvah opinion of Ben. Yet our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, said that women are part of the mitzvah of Erchen. So Mefarshim answer, we're going to learn soon, that there's a Braisa that specifically includes women in the mitzvah of Erchen. That's what the Gemara never had to have in Mina, that women should be excluded. But Kahanim Levim, we don't have such a braisa. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. Ermalei Rava asks Rava, if according to your thinking, wherever the Torah mentions the word Erchin and mentions another subject, that means that those two subjects always travel together, Ermat Gabal El Oshem. We all remember the din of Hashem Gzeilis. The din of Hashem Gzeilis is if somebody steals or falsely denies with a shvua, with an oath, that he stole money or owes money to someone else, and then he confesses, he has to give a keren v'chaymish and bring a carbon asham. So the pasuk that speaks about that carbon asham says, v'sa shama yovil Hashem, ayal tamim menatzoin be'erkecha. Ask the Gemara, hachinami, will we say, call the isa be'erchin, isa be'el asham, only those who are in the parish of Erchin also are obligated in the parasha of Hashem Gezelis. Or Betumtum Adroidness, that we already learned in the first Mishnah of Amasechta, the Lest of Erechen, that aren't in the parasha of Erechen, Lest of Be'el Hashem. It's an unsustainable pshat. El Amarova, Vitame Ravashi, Itzrich. Sakadata Chamina, Harvaksiv, when the Torah speaks about evaluating the person's financial status, if he can't afford the Erech that he pledged. The Torah says, for mido lufnei akoyin, v'loy koyin lufnei koyin. Maybe only the mido yisrael lufnei koyin, but not a koyin lufnei koyin, and therefore kohanim should be excluded. Kamash malon teaches us that halacha, that kohanim are in the parish of Erechim. So we learned in the Gemara, back on that day's Amun Aleph, that when the Mishnah said Hakol Nerachim, what did the Mishnah come to teach us with those words? Lasuya Menuvel Mukushkin. That a Menuvel Mukushkin, as we learned, even though they have no value, still are in the parasha of Erechim. Ask the Gemara Minani Mili, from where do we indeed know this halacha? And what happens now is that the Gemara quotes a lengthy brisa with many halachas in the brisa, and then the Gemara is going to explain word by word of the brisa. The Tana Rabbanan, the Torah says, Be'erekecha lahavi erech sasum. What erech sasum is, we'll see in Amud Beis. Dava acher be'erekecha erech kulay hinaisin. There's a concept of erech kulay v'loy erech avarim. Machlok is to show you what that means. What would be that? What we would think erech avarim means? If somebody said he's going to give the erech of his hand, maybe he would have to give his entire erech, or he would have to give the value of his hand. Shayach. So the halach is there is no such a thing of erech avarim. Continues the brayso. Yochosh ani mitz af davish neshama tluyba. If somebody says he's going to give the erech of an organ, of a vital organ, that the din of erechin perhaps still doesn't apply. Tamalayim and nefashis. Continues the brises. Nefashis v'lo hames. There's a din of erech on a nefesh, but not on a dead person. Continues the brisa. V'lo oitzias hames. So I'll exclude that there is no din of erech of a dead person. V'lo oitzias agaisis. A person who's a geisis, perhaps, given that he's still alive, is in the parasha of Erechin. Tamaloima, vehemid veherech. Kosh yeshna bahamada, yeshna baharocha. Because ena bahamada, ena baharocha. Since, as the Mefarshim explained, we know that halacha is, that Rachman Lutzlan, someone who's a geisis, may not be moved. You're not allowed to touch him, you're not allowed to move him. So here, if you have a geisis, you obviously cannot go through the procedure of Hamad of Arocha. You're not allowed to move him. And here we learn that whoever is excluded from Hamad of Arocha is also excluded from the parish of Erechim. Dava Acher, Nefashis, Eli El Echad, Sheherech Echad. One individual accepted upon himself the Erech of another individual. Echad Sheherech Meya, Minayin, that there's a Chi of Erechim, Tamalayim and Nefashis. And the Rishonim debate, what does the Braisa mean when it says Echad Sheherech Meya? They say, certainly, if somebody said Erchei Pliny Uplini, the Erech of all of these individuals, that you chayv each one of those Erech. There's no Chiddush. There's Machlokes Rosh and Rambam. What does the Braisa mean? The Rosh says it means that somebody said Erech Pliny Uplini Uplini. Since he used the word Erech, which is a Lashon Yochid, in the singular, so we think maybe he's only obligated to give the erech of the first Pliny, of the first individual, and not all of the other individuals in that long list. That's the chiddush that he are chayiv. The Rambam says that the chiddush is that let's say erech meya. There's a group of 100 people, and I don't call them by their individual names. I just say erech meya elu, the erech of these 100 individuals. That's called erech. That's what the Bryce is referring of erech meya. Dove acher. Continues the brisa, the fashis, eli el ish sheherech bein ish bein isha, a man who accepted a pledge of erech isha sheherecha ish. But if a woman accepted upon herself the erech of a man, or isha sheherecha isha, or a woman accepted the erech of another woman, minayin. How do we know that the din of erechin applies? Tamalayim in the fashis. So the Rishonim ask, why would we think in Hilchas Erechin, that women are different than men? So the Mefarshim explain, the Rishonim explain, since the Torah, as we've quoted the Pasuk many times, regarding Erechin says the word Ish, so we think that the Torah means Ish, V'loi Isha, that's why the Pasuk teaches us, no, that women are included in the parish of Erechin. Dava Acher, Nefashis, L'Rabbis, Menuvel, Menukashvin. Shiyada, Shiyachal, and we learned this Gemara in that Beizam and Aleph. Shiyachal neda be'erkecha. Kol shiyesh da be'damim, yesh da be'erchin. Only someone who's in the parish of damim, who has a value, is in the parish of erchin. Kol she'ena be'damim, with someone who's not in the category of a neder, ena be'erchin, should not be in the category of erchin either. Tamalaymer, nefashis. continues the Braisa, V'haya erkecha, l'rabbis, tumtim v'androgus l'domim. The tumtim and androgynous, even though they're not in the parasha of Erechim, are in the parasha of Domim, as we learned in the Mishnah. Shiyachal, for an argument can be made, Neda be'erkecha, the Torah connects the parasha of Neda to the parasha of Erechim, and we would therefore think, Kol shiyeshna be'erechim, only that individual who is in the parasha of Erechim, yeshna be'domim, is in the parasha of Domim. The kol she'ena be'erechim, but the individual who's not in the parasha of Erechim, perhaps, is also ena b'domim, is not in the parasha of Domim. Tamaloymer, v'haya erkecha, hazachar, zachar, v'loy tumtem v'noy droygnes. Yochol, loy hei be'erech ish. We would think that he's not in the parasha of an ish, because we can't know that he's a man. Ava yehei be'erech isha. At least, if you say the erech of a tumtem and androgynous, you should have to give the amount that you give for a woman, which is always less than you give for a man. Tamaloyma, v'hoya erkecha, hazachar, v'im nekevihi, zachar v'adai, nekeva v'adai, only by a zachar v'adai and a nekeva v'adai is there a din of erechin, v'loy tumtem and androgynous. This is the conclusion of the braisa. As we said, the Gemara now begins to analyze this braisa. Amar, the braisa said, Be'erkecha, the braisa began, L'rabbis erech sosum. Ask the Gemara, my erech sosum. What is the definition of an erech sosum? Says the Gemara, the Tanya, it says in the braisa, Ha'oimer erech sosum olai, if somebody uses the words erech sosum, noisin kepachesh be'erechin. He has to give the smallest amount of any erech. Says the Braisa, the Kama Pachish of Erechin, what is that number? Shloshish Kolam. The Torah, as I said so many times, gives every person, based on their age and on the gender, a value for the Erechin. The lowest number is for a woman who's between 1 month and 5 years old. Such a person is 3 shkolim. So if somebody said an erech sosum, so we give the lowest number, which is 3 shkolim. Ask the Gemara, we don't know what he meant. So we're going to say give the minimum. Veima, maybe it should give the maximum. Chamishim, maybe it should give the most. Says the Gemara, tefasta meruba loy tefasta, tefasta mu'a tefasta. Rule throughout Shas, Rashi explains it always the same way. Rashi explains like this. The smallest number is the safest. If you take 3 shkolim, is certainly what he meant. He might have meant more, but he certainly didn't mean less. So therefore, we want to play it safe. 3 shkolim is playing it safe. Anything more is not considered playing it safe. Other Mefarshim I saw say as follows. If somebody is typhus, I obligate myself an erech, and then somebody comes and takes from me 50 shkolim, I have a right to say, you had no right to take that money from me, because maybe I only meant 3 shkolim. But if he's going to take 3 shkolim from me, I have no complaint to him. To fast the meruba, if he's toifus from me, the greater number, like the fasta, he's going to have to return it. To fast the muet, but if he takes the smallest number, to fast, they'll be able to hold on to it further. Veima, so says the Gemara, if we're looking for the lowest number, maybe the lowest number is a shekel. Because as we've been learning, Diksiv, we spoke about this on Amar Aleph, the Pasuk says, V'kol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh, and we explain that if the person accepted upon himself an erech, and then he never can't afford it, so as long as he can give a shekel, that's good enough. So who says that the minimum is 3 shkolim? Maybe the minimum is 1 shekel. Answers the Gemara, Hahu behesek yaru Diksiv. That pasuk, that is speaking only regarding the person who's being evaluated because he can't afford to give what he's supposed to. Ask the Gemara, velikro lameli. So what do I learn from this pasuk? Loima, amar of Nachman, amar of Ruah, loima, shein nidim behesek yad. This individual, even though in all other situations of erchin, we said there's a chiddush of hesek yad, this person doesn't have that pasuk. That did. My time. Why not? If Hesed Yad, as I said at Amar Aleph, is such an important element of Hilchas Erechin, so why by Erech Sosim is it not? Says the Gemara Kmefarish Tami. When is there a din of Hesed Yad? This is the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. Where I accept myself an Erech. So when a person accepts upon himself an Erech, and the Mefarshim say, even though you may not know the exact age of the person, you know that he's not a baby, it doesn't make a difference. By every Erech, there is some evaluation required. Why is the evaluation required? Because we have to look at the age of the person whose Erech I accepted upon myself. But by Erech Sosim, there is no need for evaluation. Why is there no need for evaluation? Because as the Gemara just said, Erech Sosim means 3 shkolim. So since there's no need for evaluation, the whole din of evaluation falls away, and you're going to have to give you 3 shkolim. Ikedamri, but now the Gemara says just the opposite. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav Avua, Nidin Behesed Yad. That the person who accepts upon himself an Erech Sosim, yes, what is the number that is the obligation of an Erech Sosim? 3 shkolim, but the old halacha that we've learned of Hesed Yad will apply there as well. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, of course the din of Hesed Yad should apply. So all the Mefarshim are so baffled with this word Pshita. A moment ago, the Gemara said it's Pashit, that by an Erech Sosim, the din of Hesed Yad doesn't apply. Now our Gemara says that not only does the Gemara now say that the din of Hesed Yad applies, that I can live with. The Gemara is entitled to quote the Machlokes. But here the Gemara says, Pshita, just the opposite. How could there be 2 Pshitas that are exact opposite of each other? Before we said that the din of Hesed Yad doesn't apply. Here we're saying not only does the din of Hesed Yad apply, but it's Pashat that applies. How do we understand this Gemara? It's a baffling word. So I saw many truths, and the teretz that we're going to quote is that the nafkamina between the 2 Lashonis of the Gemara is not just the nafkamina and din. Does the din of Hesed Yad apply? Does the din of Hesed Yad not apply? Then the word Pshita wouldn't apply. There's a machlokes in perspective. When somebody accepts upon himself Erech Sosim, what does that mean? So the 2 Lashonis are arguing in what type of a neder is this. The first Lashon assumes that it's like Domim, that you accept the Domim, the value of somebody. Even though we've been learning, and we will continue learning, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, that there's a din of Hesed Yad by Erechin, that's only by Erechin, not by Nedarim. By Nedarim, I have to give the value. And if I can't afford it, so I'll pay when I can. The first Lashon assumes that Erech Sosim is in the category of Nedarim. And therefore there's no din of Hesed Yad, as there never is by Nedarim. The second Lashon considers it a din of Erechin. And if it's a din of Erechin, one of the fundamental rules of Erechin is Hesed Yad. And therefore the Gemara says, Pshita, that the din of Hesed Yad should apply, because it always applies by Erechin. Says the Gemara, we would think that he's accepting upon himself that he's going to pay this amount no matter what. Kamash Malon, that it's a regular din of Erech of Hesed Yad. The Braisa continued. Dove Acher, Be'erkecha. The Torah says the words Be'erkecha to teach us Erech Kulay Hu Naisein, Ve'ena Naisein Erech Demei Avarim. Ask the Gemara, Va'afik De'la Erech Sosim. How could you say that the Pasuk is teaching us that there is no halacha of Erech Avarim? We already need it for the Pasuk of Erech Sosim. Answers the Gemara, Kari Be Erech Be'erkecha. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara means. Some say there's 2 words. There's 1 word Erech and 1 word Erkecha. Others say that the word Erech is not an extra word. But in the word Erkecha, there's extra. Erech, the Torah could have said Erech, the Torah says Be'erkecha, so I have 2 limudim. Continued the Braisa, that even if somebody accepted upon himself the Erech of a vital organ, it should not be considered an Erech. Tamalomer nefashis. That if he accepted upon himself the Erech of a vital organ, it is considered an Erech. The Braisa continued, nefashis v'loyas ameis. Asked the Gemara, but we just used nefashis to teach us the din of an Erech of a vital organ. Dar fitte. Haven't we used this pasuk already? Answers the Gemara. Karbe nefesh nefashis. Again, the fire using the word nefashis gives us the opportunity to learn all of these lamudim. The Braisa continued. Oitzis ameis. Maybe there's no din of erech by a person who's no longer alive. V'loi oitzis agoisis, but not by agoisis. Tamalayma v'herech v'herech. V'hemid v'herech. Ask the Gemara if we're saying now that anybody who's unable to be evaluated, he can't stand, is not in the parasha of erechin. So why do I have to have a limit of nefashis to exclude a mes? Yehochim meis nami, tepiklei v'hemid v'herech. Can't stand up a mace, answers the Gemara, Hachinam, correct. A mace is excluded from Behemoth Veherich. Ask the Gemara, so now what was a teretz becomes a kasha. Nefashis, which is an extra wording, what do I learn from it? I don't need two limudim, because the limud of mes is no longer necessary, because the limud of mes I learned from Behemoth Veherich. Ve'ela nefesh nefashis lomeli, as the Gemara explains in a moment. The Braisa continued. Only one person's marach, one other individual. Echad sheherach meya. If one person was marach, many people, minayin, that it's a valid erech, tamalayim nefashis. The Braisa continued, nefashis. Only el ish sheherach beit ish beit isha. Isha sheherichi ish. V'isha sheherichi isha. We explained this all already. Minayin, tamalayim nefashis. Dav Acher, Nefashis, Lahavi Menuvel Mukushchin. Ask the Gemara, Vafikti Lahanach. How can we learn so many Lamudim from the one word, Nefashis? Hanin Latsichi Kra. My Tama, Ki Shakalhu. Since all of the Lamudim are equally legitimate, Vyavakula, Ki Extra Kra. So the extra Pasuk is only coming to teach us Lamnuvel Mukushchin, Hu De Istrach.